Morning, brethren. I see all your smiling faces this morning. I'd like to begin our services this morning with the singing of our theme hymn, hymn number 233. Hymn number 233, Peace, Troubled Soul. Devotions this morning. We've asked Brother Matthew Prongram to read the resolve, Brother Darren Henke to read the vow, and Brother Tom Brattner to read the manna.
My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I'll seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I'll seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to the divine care and providential overrulings of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may.
A vow unto the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body, relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of a heavenly grace the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and remembering that there are but the two masters. I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone, unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters, in the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
October 3rd, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119, 165. Our requests should be increasingly for grace and wisdom and the fruits of the Spirit and opportunities for serving of the Lord and the brethren, and for growing more and more into the likeness of God's dear Son. Under these conditions, who can doubt that the promised peace of God, beyond all understanding, would guard such hearts and their thoughts? This peace would be itself dispel one of the great evils that afflict the hearts of many. Selfishness and ambition would find little room in a heart so filled. Divine peace can dwell in our hearts and rule in them, so as to keep out the worry and turmoil of the world, even when we are surrounded by these disadvantageous conditions, even when the adversary himself is besetting us through the deceived agents. Great peace have they which love, thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Thank you, brother. I've asked Brother Steve Palmgren to open our services today with prayer, not only on Brother Albert's welcoming address, but also on the discourse to follow by Alan Springer.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We do thank you for the privilege of being here this day, and do look forward to this convention and ask a blessing upon it. We look forward to the treasures of truths that may be shared with us here, and ask thy blessing now on these two dear ones as they share with us these truths that they have. And we ask thy blessing on thy people this earth over, and we thank you again so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're pleased to have Brother Albert Schwab with us to address you brethren with an opening welcome and comments. Brother Albert, we welcome you.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Sister Norma and I are very pleased to be able to be in your midst today in convention. And it is with thankfulness from me that I have the honor of welcoming you to another Bellingham Convention. Yes, it seems like yesterday that we were listening to Brother Bud give the address of welcome last year. He gave us a lot of facts and figures about Bellingham, about the length of years the conventions were held here, going back to the time of Brother Ted and Sister Bessie and all the dear ones that have been so faithful, and then right down now to one or two. Another year has gone by. And we asked the question, does the time seem to go by faster every year? We know the answer to that. We wonder if it's just trying to cram too many things in a little single span of time. Whatever it is, we must be aware that the time for developing our Christian character as a new creature is also slipping by. Yes, the time is growing shorter for us to prove ourselves worthy of that most precious promise of sharing in that kingdom as joint heir with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, brethren, in our daily lives, we survive by deriving nutrition from what we consume. Good, wholesome food and drink helps to give us energy and strength to do our daily tasks. Less wholesome food and drink gives us less energy to perform our daily tasks. And contaminated food and drink not only takes away our energy, but also makes us ill, and in some cases gives us paralysis or even death. So we ask, how important is it that we inspect our food? How important is it that we read, research, ask information all about our food? And how important is it that we protect and guard our food once we have it from any contaminants? We may answer, well, it's so important that it's life or death. And that brings up the main thought of our welcome address to you today. We welcome you here today to share at the spiritual table that is laid out before us. We trust that the spiritual food that will be dispersed from this platform today will be wholesome, be invigorating, be sound, gratifying, and most of all, in full harmony with the message given from that seventh messenger, Pastor Russell. The spiritual food today will be wholesome if it measures up to a very simple yardstick. That yardstick is so simple that every person can understand. This yardstick can be understood by everyone that is here today, or everyone listening, even online. Remember, it's simple, not complicated. The yardstick is simply, and are you ready for this? Volume 1, pages 1 to 350, plus the foreword. Volume 2, pages 1 to 366, plus the foreword. Volume 3, pages 1 to 379, plus the foreword. Volume 4, pages 1 to 656, plus the foreword. Volume 5, pages 1 to 490, plus the foreword. Volume 6, pages 1 to 729, plus the foreword. Yes, the 6 volumes with all the pages. Brethren, all the pages and the forewords. How often I have heard the statement, yes, we believe all Pastor Russell's writings. But, I don't need to say anything further. Some may say that the yardstick is the Bible. We must study the Bible. The last time I checked in BC, there were about 45 different theological schools, colleges, or similar to that. Yes, everyone studying the Bible, and none of them having the truth. Why? If all it is studying the Bible, then really they should have it made. Not so. The keys to understanding the Bible are the volumes. The volumes from Pastor Russell's pen open up to us the understanding that confounds the wisdom of today's learned ones. When we read the volumes, we then take our Bible and corroborate what we are being told, having a thus saith the Lord. That is how we study the Bible. One sister in Romania put it best to me when I was there. Every volume study is a Bible study. Yes. We look forward to the day when, as it is written, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And also, no man will say unto his neighbor, know ye the Lord, for all shall know him, from the least unto the greatest. Could I have some water, please? But now we are still in the age when the Sarah class is only being dealt with. Only a few, a very few. These in number will get fewer and fewer, down to only one on this side of the veil. Numbers are not what we are to look for today, but rather we are to look for soundness, zeal, and quality in our classes and in our brethren. Where two or three are gathered, there will I be in your midst. Brethren, don't ever feel lonely, because the Lord is always there. It is therefore a responsibility amongst each of us whether we are old or whether we are young, whether we are male, whether we are female, whether we are an elder, whether we are a deacon, whether we're just anyone in the class, to uphold the truth as laid out by our pastor, that wise and faithful servant. We should be strong in our stand for the truth, and anyone that does not adhere to the standards should be guarded against. Yes, this may not be a very popular stand, but we are not here for a popularity contest, brethren. We certainly are here to be responsible to keep the truth pure, uncontaminated, so that all that may share it will receive that wholesome spiritual food. Even a little bit of unsound truth, a little leaven, will contaminate the whole loaf. Just remember, one little apple, one little teeny weeny apple in the Garden of Eden caused 6,000 years plus of suffering. How small a deviation of present truth is acceptable for us and yet still receive life for how long? Eternity. Eternity beside our Lord and Savior. Today, I am confident we will receive wholesome spiritual food and will go from here giving us more things to think on, as stated in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Our greatest battles are fought within the mind. So to think properly is crucial. I'd just like to read a couple excerpts from reprint 2890. And it's finishing touches of a Christian character. And it states, the Lord appeals to the power of the mind through his word and urges upon his people that they may be transformed by the renewing of their minds, Romans 12:2. Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. And another paragraph. We are willing to agree also that thinking may be a very dangerous matter in the absence of absolute knowledge upon which to base and exercise our reasoning faculties. But the Lord has protected his faithful along this line by providing in his word with the proper basis for reasoning on all subjects involving our duty to our Creator and our fellow creatures. The scriptures lay down certain broad lines and invite God's people to reason within these lines of revelation. And by reasoning thus, to taste and see that the Lord is gracious and come to a clearer knowledge of him, a better understanding of his character and plan. Many who are awakened to independent thinking are careless of the limitations of the divine revelation, and consequently, the influence of the divine word upon them is a mental liberty and enlightenment which, lacking the divine control, is very apt to go to the extreme of self-conceit and infidelity. Brethren, we are prepared to receive wholesome food from the platform today. May the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Albert. Well, I think we all know how we got the truth. And some of us also got the truth from the tabernacle. But we can all remember maybe what appealed to our particular minds when the Lord was dealing with us in that way and drawing us. And a drawing would have come to the present truth that was delivered to us by the pen of Brother Russell. So, well said, Brother Albert. We appreciate those opening remarks.